إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة. من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد، ومن يعص الله ورسوله فلا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، first of all, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whomever doesn't thank the people doesn't thank the Lord of the people. من لا يشكر الناس لا يشكر رب الناس. I ask Allah to reward first of all, our brothers in the Wayne State University who are sponsoring this event, the brothers and the sisters, all the brothers who worked and did efforts, and it took a lot of effort to hold this seminar. So I ask Allah to reward them all, and may they find it a mountain of deeds on the judgment day. The unique topic, as you know, as Brother Uthman mentioned, it's a very rare topic that's mentioned. And we're not here to go on the offensive and show that Islam gave women their rights. We're not here to do that. Others belong on the defensive, and it's not us who belong on the defensive. Others are the ones who should defend themselves. Because if you look in the history of the world, you find that the Romans treated the woman as a prisoner. You find at times that the French in the year 586 held a conference to see if a woman is supposed to be considered a human or animal. The French in 586 held a conference to see whether the woman is supposed to be a human or an animal. Go back to Great Britain. Great Britain, until recently, until just 50 years ago, a woman could never own a car or buy a house by herself. She needs a male guardian to sign for her. There were many other laws that were degrading for women that were only changed within the last century in Great Britain. The United States only, as you know, the Women's Rights Act that followed in the 20s and so on. Islam came 14 centuries ago with more advanced laws than anyone could imagine. Property. A woman could own and invest her property as she may wish. Marriage. No one can force her to get married. Participate in politics. Umayya radiallahu anha participated. She said, I give refuge to so-and-so, a group of people that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doomed them to be dead. Umayya spoke out and said, I give them refuge. Salama radiallahu anha, some of the most, as we're going to see about her life, some of the most important advice for this ummah. They participated, the woman played a role in almost every area you can imagine. As we're going to see, there may be restrictions at times, because Allah knows how He created a man, and He knows how He created a woman. And He knows what happens when you put them together, and the negative effect of that. So Allah knows how He created them, and He put restrictions upon them, and that's what inshallah we will talk and know more about through the history of these women. At the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time, just before his messengerhood, a woman was treated like an animal. A woman was to be buried as soon as her mother gave birth to her. Allah quotes it in the Quran, وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنْثَى ضَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. If some of them is told you got a baby girl as a newborn, he turns away sad and frowns. يَتَوَارَى مِنَ الْقَوْمِ, runs away from everyone. It's an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment. من سوء ما بشر به. أيمسك على أمن. Should he hold it and raise it? Or should he bury it? ألا ساء ما يحكمون. Woe to that which they govern themselves by. This is one of the things that was about to make women extinct just before the Prophet ﷺ's time. It just happened that a man from a famous tribe, his daughter ran away. Or was his daughter was abducted by another tribe. They had a settlement. The two tribes had a settlement that they should come over in return for a ransom. She fell in love with the second tribe. She didn't want to go back. So the leader of that tribe said, we're going to bury every girl we have alive out of shame. I'm going to do that. He's the leader of a tribe. Everyone began to follow in his footsteps. On, until the whole Arabic tribe did that. To the story you know very well about Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, who used to say, sit amongst his people and cry. He'd say, Umar, why are you crying? Umar would say something I did in Jahiliyyah. I took my daughter when she was 6 years old to bury her. And when I took her to bury her, I was digging the ground and she's on my shoulder. And dirt would come on my face. And she, the innocent little girl, would clean the dirt off her father's face. He said, every time I remember that, I cry and pass out. And there was another thing that made him laugh. But the point is, the woman was treated like an animal. Do you know just before the Prophet ﷺ's time, there was kind of adulteries and prostitutions that are not even available today. I mean, people today may think evil of them. Islam liberated the woman. Islam gave the woman more rights than you can imagine of today. And as you see today, they try and try with things that, for example, take mixing in schools. We say it's haram. Mixing is haram. We say you're radical, brother. How are you radical, brother? We say the Quran and the Sunnah told us mixing is haram. They don't believe us. You're too strict on us. President Bush recently said he's a pro-supporter in the Wall Street Journal and many newspapers said he's going to be pushing for separate schools. Girls in the school and men in the school. He tried it. Why did he do that? Why? Why did President Bush do that? He did it because he found that this system is a failure. And the only rules that may be good is when they separate them. When you have a beautiful girl and a handsome man, they got no worries. They got income. And you put them next to each other in the school. What kind of productivity are they going to do? What kind of productivity in a job or in a school are they going to do? Other than exchange numbers, other than flirt and harass each other. And that's why they found it a failure now. Something we said 1,400 years ago. As I always say, the problem with Islam is one thing. We're too advanced for this universe. We're too advanced. Everyone looks down on us because we're way ahead of time. They're behind, we're way ahead of time. And you're going to see this, I'm not going to break it down by, outline, but I'm going to do it and I'll show you that through some of the stories as Brother Uthman broke it down in three different lectures. The brothers are going to come to me and say, as I got many emails, they said, you're going to lose us, brother, if you hold these kind of lectures. A lot of the brothers said, you're going to lose us. I don't know why you chose such a lecture. Well, it wasn't me who chose it. It was Ahmed Arshad who chose this and initially organized it. So they should know about that, first of all. Second of all, holding such lectures like this, there should have been more brothers and sisters. I know they didn't come because of the title of the lecture, but there should have been more brothers and sisters because it's a system in the Quran that Allah uses examples of women to tell the men to imitate. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah set an example for the believers. Male and female, tell us Allah, who are these examples? Allah set an example to the true believers. Who are these true? Who are these examples? Who are these heroes? Ibrahim, Musa, Adam, Muhammad, Abu Bakr. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. امْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ. The wife of Fir'aun, a woman. The first goes on to go on and say, as we're going to hear inshallah later on when I talk about the lives of these women, وَمَرْيَمَ بْنَةَ عِمْرَانَ. Don't also forget about Maryam ibn Imran. We talked about the wife of Fir'aun, but don't forget about the wife of, don't forget about Maryam Bint Umran and her story in the Prophet, and Allah in the Quran praises her and how she was pious. So there's a method in the Quran where Allah uses women to tell the man, imitate these women. That's why Allah uses these examples, and that's why we're going to learn all together, inshallah, from these examples. As you heard, the first lecture is going to be about women prior to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life. You hear many names, but you rarely hear the woman behind these names. You rarely hear what they did. Let's take, for example, Ibrahim or Musa. Let's start off with Musa alayhi salam. Musa was sent to Bani Israel with two missions. His first mission was to establish Tawheed. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. His second mission was to liberate Bani Israel. Bani Israel were not from the family or tribe of Fir'aun. Fir'aun was on one side, Bani Israel were another tribe. Bani Israel were slaves of Fir'aun. He used them to build the houses, the mansions, he used them as slaves. One of Musa's missions was to liberate them. The story of Musa starts off in the Quran from his early days. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِيهِ. This in itself is an honor of a woman. How Allah in the Quran talks about the initial stages of Musa alayhi salam with his mother. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِيهِ. فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ. She gives birth to him. Fir'aun found out, Pharaoh, when I say, if there's a word that you don't understand in English, please tell me. Fir'aun, we mean by that Pharaoh. Fir'aun said, or asked the advice of the people who do black magic and fortune telling, and he was told that there's a man or a boy going to be born in a certain years, 3 or 4 years, that he's going to come and take over your kingdom. Fir'aun said, okay, no problem. Every single child, they have those years, you kill them all. Musa now has a baby. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِيهِ. Give birth to him. فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ. Fir'aun sends spies. He sends out spies to make sure everyone who had a baby sends him over and he slaughters him. So they knock on the door. Allah instigated. Allah revealed to Musa, if you fear them coming at your door, tie him, baby, put him in a casket, and throw him out in the ocean, in a valley in the ocean, and hold them to a rope. That casket is held to a rope. And every time they knock on your door, you put them. And they come, knocking on his door, the first time, second time, the third time, she sends him out, and he's in the front of the palace of Fir'aun himself. Imagine that. How faithful does a woman have to be? I don't think there's any stronger emotional bond stronger than the bond between a mother and her child. Allah tells her, put him in a casket, and then let the current take him in the ocean. And she says, I will do that. فَإِذَا حِفْتَ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ وَلَا تَخَافِي. Don't be afraid. وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. Don't be depressed. إِنَّا رَدُّهُ إِلَيْكِ. He's going to come back to you. And he's not only going to come back to you, he's going to come back to you as a messenger of Allah. وَجَعِلُهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. فَالْتَقَطَهُ آلُ فِرْعَوْنَ. The followers, the supporters of Al Fir'aun, see a casket right in front of the palace. They pick him up. And they take him to Fir'aun. The wife of Fir'aun, look at this. Look how many women after women are behind this man. How many women are behind this man that made him who he is? First of all, Musa, the real mother that gave birth to him. Second of all, the wife of Fir'aun, her name is Asiya bint Muzahim. This was a beautiful woman who Fir'aun had his eye on, and he said, I want her. And he wanted to enslave her and use her for his sexual pleasure. The father of Asiya said, if you persistently are going to do this, at least marry her. And he stayed after him until he did marry her. So she became his wife, but she never liked him. Another problem was she could never conceive kids. And she's always by herself. She hated life there, and she's always by herself. Until Fir'aun is approached by the baby, she hears commotion, she goes up to the commotion, she finds that the baby is in the hands of Fir'aun. She says, قُرَّةُ عَيْنٍ لِي وَلَكَ. All this is in the Quran. This in itself is honor for women. قُرَّةُ عَيْنٍ لِي وَلَكَ. A pleasure for me and you. لا تقتلوه. Don't kill this one. عسى أن ينفعنا. We're going to use him as a child. No one's going to know he's not our child. They're going to think it's our child. And Fir'aun felt sorry for her because she never had anything to do and he did love her. He said, okay, you may raise him. Fir'aun raised his biggest enemy. He thought he could kill every enemy. In fact, it turned out that he and his wife raised his biggest enemy. And he grew up in their household. Now the mother, could you imagine the mother? She doesn't know. Did her son drown? Is he dead? Is he alive? The number three woman who played a role in Musa's life. Who? His sister. وَقَالَتْ لِأُخْتِهِ أُصِّيهِ. Follow him. See where he's at. فَبَصُرَتْ بِهِ عَنْ جُنُوبِ. She's seen him in the palace of Fir'aun. And they didn't see her. And then Allah put a miracle to Musa that he would not breastfeed from anyone in town. So this sister, knowledgeable sister, went up to him and said, okay, I have someone who will be able to breastfeed. And this is the prophecy that Allah already told her, that he's going to come back to you. And he comes back to her. All day long, he's enjoying himself with his real mother, breastfeeding him and taking care of him, and at night he goes to Al-Qibin Fusahim. And they raise him like that until he becomes a firm young man. He hears of a fight in the streets. So he jumps in. Musa, one of the unique things about him is he was a physically strong man. So he went over there. All he did was poke the man one time. Poke him by mistake. He didn't mean to kill him. From the other tribe that was not his tribe, and he killed him. Fir'aun always hated Musa. He said, this is the right time to take advantage of this. I should take advantage of this. And he said, we gotta compensate. It's a mistake. You kill someone for killing another by mistake. You never do that. But Fir'aun wanted to use this as revenge against Musa because he always hated him. So he ran away. Musa ran away. You've got three women in his life. His mother, Azib ibn Muzahim, and his sister. Now he's heading to meet number four woman. All four women are in the Quran. Legacy! Legacy for these women! وَلَمَّا تَوَجَّهَ تِلْقَاءَ مَدْيَمْ. Fir'aun and his people are running after him. So he runs to a town called Madyam. قَالَ عَسَى رَبِّي أَنْ يَهْدِيَنِي سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ. He said, oh Allah, may Allah guide me to the right path. He said, وَلَمَّا وَرَدَ مَاءَ مَدْيَمْ. He got to an area where there's water. He found a large group of people fighting over the water, crowded over the water. And he found on the side two women refusing to approach the crowd. Look how Allah tells you, this isn't just a story. This is to tell you how pious women are, how shy they are. وَلَمَّا وَرَدَ مَاءَ مَدْيَنَ وَجَدَ عَلَيْهِمْ. A woman doesn't go in the crowd and push people around and give water for herself. The pious woman, wait, they're waiting over there. Until Musa asked her, what's your situation? Why are you over here and everyone is drinking? They said, لَا نَسْقِي حَتَّى يُسْدِرَ بِعَاد. We don't go in this crowd. Until everyone goes and disperses, we'll go. Musa got jealous. This is the characteristics of a man. When he sees his sisters degraded, when he sees their honor degraded, when he hears of them raped, when he hears of them killed, when he hears of them being burned alive, he doesn't say, it's not my business. He does what Musa alayhi salam did. What did Musa alayhi salam did? With his physical power, pushed everyone aside. And he brought the water for them and said, go on your way. Then he goes back under the tree. And says, he didn't do that. Say, ah, inshallah, in the future, she's going to marry me. She's going to love me. She's going to fall in love with me. That wasn't something he did. He says, Rabbi, لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. Oh Allah, I'm poor. Oh, that's what you give me. I am still a poor person and a very weak person. He's sitting under the tree. And again, Allah mentions that same woman coming to him. There's not a single word in the Quran that comes out of context. Allah doesn't mention a word in there just, you know, to add, to make the story more humorous or more nice to listen to. فَجَاءَتُ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى التَّحْيَاءِ. She's shy. She comes to him. قَالَتْ إِنَّ أَبِي يَدْعُوكَ. My father wants you. Why? She went home early that day. And her father asked her, why are you early today?
Her father is an old man. His name was Shu'aib. It's disputed whether he's the messenger Shu'aib or whether he's someone else named after Shu'aib. And more authentically it is that he's someone named after the messenger Shu'aib. So, they asked him, why are you early today? She said, there was a strong man who gave us the water. He said, where is he? Why don't you bring him? We gotta reward him. We don't let people just go like that, by like that. We have to pay him. So she came to him. إِنَّ أَبِي يَدْعُوكَ لِيَجْزِيَكَ أَجْرَ مَا سَقَيْتَ لَهَا. My father wants to give you the reward. She's shy. She's out of sight, but she's talking to him over there where you can't see her. So he walks. In the narrations of the story, when he walks, look at the pious men, how they walk. When they walk with women, he told her, walk behind me. Look at this. Look to what extent they went. He says, walk behind me. And every time you want me to go to the left or to the right, you throw a stone to the left or to the right, I'll know the direction of which way we're going to go to. Until we got to the house. He sits with her father. And after sitting, they agree. Allah says in the Quran to work for 8 to 10 hijjaj. 8 or 10 means work 8 or 10 years. And my daughter will be available for you to marry. This is, any questions? This is not women, number 4. As they're sitting talking, it was the suggestion of his daughter who said use him. But she didn't say use him to work for you. She said a unique word. قَالَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا يَا أَبَتِ اسْتَأْجِرْهُ إِنَّ خَيْرَ مَا اسْتَأْجَرْتَ الْقَوِيُّ الْأَمِينُ. You know anyone who knows in management today, if you deal in work in management, the core of this woman you have to use. What did she say? Oh my dear father, you have to get him to work for you. Why? Because the best one who work are the strong, physically strong. You can't have an old man bringing him to a nice corporation and think your corporation is going to prosper. Qawi, and the second one, Amin, trustworthy. إِنَّ خَيْرَ مَنِ اسْتَأْجَرْتَ الْقَوِيُّ أَمِينَ. You have to have both of them together. When you learn management, you're going to learn the significance of these two things for anyone you employ. Who is the one who told us this? A woman. In the Quran. He worked this 8 or 10 years. And he has sympathy for his mother and his stepmother and his sister. Wants to go back and visit them. So he goes back to visit them. However, on his way back, it's a freezing, cold, and dark night. And he sees in that cold, dark night, he wants to keep his wife warm. He sees a fire. So he says to his wife, you stay here, I'll go see that fire. And when he goes to that fire, you probably, most of you know the story, where all the miracles of Allah came down upon him, and he became the messenger of Allah. And he resorts to his wife. Just like the Prophet ﷺ resorted to Khadija radiallahu anha when he first got the message, it's terrorizing. Allah talks to him. Allah talks to Musa. That's why Musa is Kalimullah. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was terrorized by Jibreel. Something he didn't know how he approached him. He runs to Khadija. This one runs back to his wife. She calms him down, supports him, and they continue on their journey. And over there in their journey, one of the most unique things that happened is that Fir'aun is asked to embrace Islam. La ilaha illallah Muhammad, Musa is the messenger of Allah. And of course, as you know, we believe that Musa and Ibrahim and Adam and Noah, as Allah quotes them in the Quran, to be under Islam. We call them Muslims. The Quran calls them Muslim, Allah calls them Muslim. So they have this big, unique debate. Fir'aun tells him, all that you're doing is blood. Imagine. He had a rash on his hand. He puts it in his pocket. Back then the pockets, as you know, you have elder grandmothers, their pockets are up here. Grandmothers and grandfathers, the pockets are up here, not over here. So he put his hand in his pocket, the rash goes away. He throws his snake on the ground, he throws his stick on the ground, it turns into a snake. Fir'aun said, oh, this is black magic. He said, okay, let's have a public debate. Bring the best of your black magic people on one side and Musa on one side. And they together have a debate. Musa tells them, throw down what you have. As soon as Musa throws down what he has, it eats up all their robes and all their sticks and all their foolish magic. They know that this is not magic. Because they're the best ones at magic. So as soon as it happens, they all bow down to Allah in ruku' and sujood. That's not the unique thing about the story. Why I brought the story is amongst them were three women. Three women who carry on the legacy of this man. Three women who supported him after they seen that miracle. It was true, the only ones who believed were the ones from the black magic. Because they seen Musa alayhi salam, they said, we're the pros at it. If this was black magic, we'd be the first ones to know, and we'd be the first ones to defeat him. Because there's no one better than us. When they see the truth, they believe. But three women didn't know what black magic was. But they knew that this man was saying the truth. And that is his mother. And his stepmother, Asiya bint Muzahim. And that other woman is his wife. Three women. And it said that his sister was not there because she had previously passed away. Three women over there. Turns out to be these three women are his biggest supporters. He says, release Bani Israel. Musa tells him, I want those 600,000 of Bani Israel, you got to release them. He refuses. Every time he refuses, Allah sends him a curse. Tufan, floods, creatures that overwhelm the town. And every time they say we repent to Allah, and then they refuse to send Bani Israel out, Allah sends them with another curse. Until Fir'aun finally said, yes, I will release them. And that's when the destiny and end of Fir'aun happened. When he released them, but he chased them to kill them all. The unique thing is, with that, around Musa, the giant, Musa, the physical giant, his supporters on his side are, who do you think? Asiya, his mom, and his wife. The three biggest supporters of a huge messenger, of Ulil Azm from the Rusul, the best of all messengers, is three women. Asiya gets caught, the wife of Fir'aun. And Fir'aun says, you believe in his Lord? She said, I believe in his Lord more than I believe in you. And that's why Allah quotes her in the Quran and saying, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا امْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ. A true example for the believers, because she was at the strong of her iman. She had a palace. You know the palace of Fir'aun, how it was? It was over an ocean. He used to brag about the ocean under him. If she wanted luxury, which she would choose? Musa or Fir'aun? That young boy she raised? Or that man who supported her? The one whose palace was over an ocean. He used to brag and he'd say, أَلَيْسَ لِلْمُلِكُمْ أَسْرَبْ Do not I own Egypt? وَهَذِي الْأَنْهَارُ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِي These oceans flow from under me. Those are all the oceans. I own it. I'm the leader. I'm the owner of that. She left all that and went with Musa. When he found out, it's disputed in many saying how she was killed. Some say he cut her into pieces. Some say she was crucified. And as he was killing her, she said the quote that Allah said in that verse, رَبِّ بِّنِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ She said, oh Allah, she doesn't want this palace. If I want the luxury, I'd go with Fir'aun. رَبِّ بِّنِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ Oh Allah, build me a palace in heaven. رَبِّ بِّنِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِهِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ Rescue me from Fir'aun and his evil doing. وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ What more honor do you want than one of our most famous messengers have four heroic women to support him and surround him and always, because you always need probably more than anything in da'wah, moral boost. People go, Fir'aun, I didn't mention the details of the story, but what Fir'aun did to Musa is something you could never imagine. Who does he resort to? Mom. To mom, his mother, and his stepmother, Asiya, and to his wife. And in the beginning, to his sister, all that. Why? Because the Quran wants to show you the legacy of these women. That the Quran mentioned more about her in these stories, probably more than he mentioned about Musa alayhi salam, to show you how important they are in the role of every da'i, how important they are to imitate them. Woman has a palace over. I personally would choose the palace. I don't know about you, but a palace over the ocean. That's something I would choose. My weak iman would choose that. But this strong iman woman, no. Oh Allah, build me a palace over there. It said in the story that when she was saying that dua and she was being crucified, she looks up And Allah put her the picture of the palace awaiting for her in heaven, inshallah. Rahimahullah. Wa radiya anha wa alayhi salam. The next one we should talk about that was before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time is woman who surrounded Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam, as you know, from the stronghold of the messengers, the important of all messengers, married a woman named, what's the name of his wife? His first wife. Who said Sarah? Someone said Sarah, huh? The right name of her is Sarah, with the shadda on it. It's not Sarah, or it's not Sarah, it's rather Sarah. That's the right Arabic meaning, the right Arabic saying of how her name is. He married Sarah, a young girl, and he was a bit older. And he went from country to country in Dawah. From Mosul to Iraq to Palestine to near close to the Arabian Peninsula, from country to country for da'wah for the sake of Allah. They get to Egypt. When they get to Egypt, there's an oppressive leader there. This leader takes the beautiful woman of every man. If there's a man has a nice woman and he wants her, he desires her, he takes her. So Musa had a beautiful young girl, Ibrahim had a beautiful young girl. And as soon as he got to the border of Egypt, the people around this oppressive leader took Sarah and took her to the leader. They said, we got something nice for you today. So they take her, and as soon as she gets to the palace, he tries to make a pass at her. Look how history tells us things of how women should react today. He tries to make a pass as soon as he sees her. She, alone, with no husband around, says, oh Allah, you know that I never cheated my husband. Oh Allah, you know I am pure. Oh Allah, you know I believed in you, in you only. Oh Allah, you know I believed in your messenger Ibrahim. Oh Allah, save me from him and his evil. His hand froze. His hand froze. This is not a movie. These are actual things that happened. He says, you know, release my hand. We're going to do this and this. He started to run here. So she said, oh Allah, release his hand. The second time, he thought it was, you know, coincidence that his hand broke. So he tries it the second time. And he says, she says the same dua again over and over. Oh Allah, you know, that if I believed in you, I believed in your messenger. I am pious. I have never cheated on him. Oh Allah, you know that's all true. Save me from this evil person. The second thing happens again, his hand freezes. And the third time, the same thing happens. He knows this is no coincidence. He knows this is something from Allah. So he says, you go on your way. I'm going to make sure you reach your destination in peace. Not only that, I'm going to send with you gold, a caravan, and who knows what else? Who knows what else? Who was that servant? Hajj. That's the most important thing. Up here, go and Hajar alayhi salam. So Hajar was the slave of who? Sarah. The days go on. Sarah can't get conceived kids. So what she does is release and free Hajar and marries her to her husband. Because she knows the legacy of Islam needs to continue on and he needs to have children. So she frees her own slave and gives her to Ibrahim alayhi salam and he marries her. The first mission he gets is to head to the Arabian Peninsula. Now he has in the area of Sham his first wife. In the Arabian Peninsula he's headed with Hajar. Allah describes that valley as a valley with nothing that grows in it. Two mountains. Or three mountains. And in the middle is a valley. Not a single little piece of grass. Or a tree. Or a shade. The only shade you probably get is from the mountain. And it's very hot. The Prophet Ibrahim takes her there. And he leaves her there. It's his order to leave her there. And listen to this. Listen to the faithful mu'mina. Listen to this faithful believer. There is a lesson for all of us. Men before women to follow. He leaves her there. Imagine that, a desert. Focus with me. You're in a desert. No food, no water. All you got is a little bit of water and a little bit of food. And he puts says, you stay here, I'm going on a long destination. I, again, would run after him and say, you can't leave me here. But she does the same thing. She runs after him. And she says, Ibrahim, who are you leaving us to? Ibrahim, who are you? And he refuses to look back. Not a single time does he look back. Then it comes to her. This may be a mission from Allah. Could be that this is a mission from Allah. So she says her famous quote. Allahu amaraka bihada. She doesn't say Allah. She doesn't say Allah amaraka bihada. Did Allah order you to this? Allah, the one who created the sky and the earth, ordered you to do this. He looks back and says, yes. What does this faithful woman do? Go. Go. Allah's going to support us. Izhab fa'in Allah lan yudayyuhna. Faithful believer. Allah, the creator of the sky, the earth, the water, the mountains. He ordered you to do this. If he ordered you to do this, then surely he's not going to leave us to starve and die over here. She stayed there. Look at the legacy of Islam with women. Every one of you has to go to Hajj. Before you die, inshallah, very soon, we all have to go to Hajj. Look at what you do in Hajj in remembrance of that woman. For her iman, for a woman. Was it because of Ibrahim? Was it because of the iman of Ibrahim when he left her there? It was because of the iman of that woman. What do you have to do first of all? You walk around the Kaaba, then you head to the Safa and Marwa. Running 7 times. Not only you run 7 times, look how Allah wanted to honor this woman. Look at how Allah wanted to honor this woman. 7 times, there's an area where you have to speed run. In areas where you have to walk a little bit faster. You know why? In remembrance of this woman. To show the world, she is an important woman. She is someone you need to imitate. Her iman is something that you need to put in your heart. She walks up and down the Al, looking for water. There's two mountains. The mountain of As-Safa and the mountain of Al-Marwa. And she goes from one mountain to another. Climbs up the mountain, looks for people, comes back again. 7 times. You gotta do exactly what that woman did. Can someone tell me after this that Islam doesn't honor women? Can someone tell me after this that Islam... You gotta do it 7 times like she did it. Not only 7 times like she did it. You gotta run where she ran. You gotta walk where she walked. You gotta climb the mountain where she climbed. In honor of who? A young little woman who stayed there with her son in the hot desert of the Arabian Peninsula. She goes back to her son on the 7th round. And she finds that her son had kicked, it said in some narration, had kicked the ground. The ground had split open. And as you know, the water of Zamzam broke out over there. And as you know, today, it said in some narration that Jibreel alayhi salam hit the earth with one time, with one of his wings, and it broke out the water of Zamzam. What does Hajar do? She goes and she finds the water under the feet of her son. She's so happy. She grows and gathers the sand around it so the water won't spread. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam later said, commented on this story. May Allah have mercy on Hajar. Had she let the water go, had she not compiled the dirt and rocks around it so the water won't flow around, there would have been an ocean of Zamzam. All in who? In remembrance and in respect to a woman, when you go to Hajj, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, drink from Zamzam until you can no longer drink. Until it reaches your chest. If you ever drink so much, you feel it's going to come out of your neck. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, فَلْيَتَضَلَّ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَتَضَلَّ means let it reach your neck. So he goes, and you're supposed to do that. And you ask Allah anything you want. Ask Allah anything you want, you're not going to be turned down. We know people who had cancer and did this, they were cured. We know people who had diseases. Doctors told them you're going to die in a few months. They did this, and Allah cured them. By the will of Allah, through Zamzam. And when you drink Zamzam, what are you supposed to remember? You're supposed to remember that woman who left her son a in the hot desert in Mecca with no water or food, how she was patient and how Allah awarded her. Meaning, be patient. That success and victory is going to come soon if you hold steadfast with Allah. Had she said, Ibrahim, I'm not going to do this. I don't want to do this. What are you doing? Leaving me over here. All this legacy would have not overcome for her. The next woman we should take is the wife of Ayyub. The wife of Ayyub, alayhi salam, is unique in that Ayyub was cursed with a disease. This disease was sort of a skin disease that made everyone run away from him. Everyone ran away from him. Not only was it a skin disease, 14 of his kids died. Could you imagine that? Could the sisters imagine that? You know, one of our kids died, whether male or female, it's devastating. You probably can't get over it all your life. 14 of her kids died. Extinct. She has no more kids. And everyone shunned her husband. Because they thought every time they go next to her husband, that disease is going to infect them and they're going to die as well. And the only person, you read of the legacy of Ayyub, you forget about his wife. The one who, if it wasn't for that wife, Ayyub wouldn't be what it was, what he is and what we know of him today. Why? The only one who supported him. The only one who went along with him. The only one who financially went to the extent of selling her hair. Back then, the woman who wanted nice hair would buy hair from others and connect it in some way, attach it. I think it's done today as well. They attach it and have beautiful hair. She went to the extent of selling her hair without telling anyone except the woman to who she sold her hair to. And she tell you, could you make dua? Could you make dua that Allah relieve us of what's going on? What does he tell her? Says, no. How long did we live in peace together? She said, 18 years. She said, we lived 18 years in peace and in health and kids and everything. She said, yes. He said, okay, wait another 18 years. And Allah, inshallah, will relieve us of what's going on. Patience. He's trying to teach her patience. And she did wait patiently 18 years. You know what happened? He bathed after Allah's order. He was relieved of his disease. She walked in on him after a day's long work. She says, who are you? He says, you don't know who I am? He says, I am your husband, Ayyub. Allah has cured me. وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ أَهْلَهُ وَمِثْلَهُمْ مَعَهُمْ رَحْمَةً مِنَّا وَذِكْرَى لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. We give him that which he had and more. He had fourteen kids. After this patience and in commemorance to his wife and in reward to his wife, they get over 20 kids. And that's how they live their life. When you listen of a messenger of Allah, look who's behind them. It's usually that woman who sometimes supports him, if not even more than that. As you see, Sulaiman, alayhi salam. Sulaiman holds a march, a military march. He wants to see all his soldiers. And as you know, Sulaiman had the animals, human and jinn, under his control. And he looks, we're running out of time. 5 minutes. I'll try to sting this one short, although it's a very long one. Sulaiman looks for a bird, Hudhud. And he says, where's the bird? Where's the Hudhud? If he does not come within time, I will either severely punish him or kill him. وَتَفَقَّدَ الطَّيْرَ فَقَالَ مَا لِيَ لَا أَرَى الْهُدْهُدَ أَمْ كَانَ مِنَ الْغَائِبِينَ. How come I don't see the Hudhud? How come that bird isn't around? Why is he not here? لَأُعَذِّبَنَّهُ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا أَوْ لَأَذْبَحَنَّهُ أَوْ لَيَأْتِيَنِّي بِسُلْطَانٍ مُبِينٍ. The Hudhud comes. The Hudhud comes, and the Hudhud usually is a bird that knows where the water is. As many birds do, but this one's specialty more than other birds is he knows where the water is. He says, Sulaiman, I found something I'm not supposed to find. What is it? He says, I found people bowing to other than Allah. Shouldn't I not bow to Allah, the one who created him and the one who breaks out water from the earth? Because it's his specialty. That's his specialty. So he brought what Allah does according to his specialty. He said, shouldn't they bow down to the one that Allah breaks the earth and brings out water for them? So Sulaiman said, Sanandur Asada. You may be a liar. You may be trying to escape the punishment. Sanandur Asadakta Am Kunta Min Al Kadibin. If you're saying the truth or you're a liar, idhab bi kitabi hadha. Take my book over there and send it and drop it to that woman and come back. Idhab bi kitabi hadha fa alqih ilayhim. ثم تولى عنهم فانظر ماذا يرجعون. As soon as she read the book, the letter said, إنه من سليمان. It's from Sulaiman. And it's Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Don't try to be superior over me and come to me as Muslim. She said a quote, a righteously quote. And not only, look, you know today, some men think it's manly to listen to the woman and then be different. Actually, you've got men today, they want to listen to the woman and see what she says, and they want to do what she does. But to prove their manly, they'll do the opposite. Look what Allah does in the Quran. قالت إن الملوك إذا دخلوا قرية. She said, the king, if they enter a town, إذا دخلوا قرية أفسدوها, make it evil. وجعلوا عزة أهلها, make the leaders of it the low ones. You know what Allah said? She's a woman. Did Allah say no? She's a liar. She's wrong. She doesn't know what she's talking about. Allah said, that's true. وَكَذَلِكَ يَفْعَلُونَ. Allah commented at the end, وَكَذَلِكَ يَفْعَلُونَ. For who? A woman. Over there that said a famous quote, that's the righteous quote, that king. There's exceptions to this quote, of course, but we don't make rules based on exceptions. We make rules based on the general trend. Allah said, وَكَذَلِكَ يَفْعَلُونَ. What this woman is saying is the truth. If Allah accepted what that woman is saying, shouldn't man at times, when the woman is right, be thankful and accept what that woman is saying? وَكَذَلِكَ يَفْعَلُونَ. وَإِنِّي مُرْسِلَةٌ إِلَيْهِمْ بِهَدِيَةٍ. I'm going to send them a present. This woman was a king. Some people say women don't know how to think, don't know how to think right. This woman was the queen of her time, the queen of the area of Yemen. She said, I'm going to send a present. It wasn't just a present. It wasn't a present to bribe only. It was more to investigate what Sulaiman had. What is he at? How many military men? How many army does he have? Is his power close to ours? Could we fight him or not? The thinking, the wisdom of a woman who was the queen of her time. فَلَمَّا جَاءَ سُلَيْمَانِ. Before that, her leaders told her, she gathered everyone. She told them, what do you think we should do? Invade? Or do? They said, we're at your disposition. You're the one with wisdom. You're the one with knowledge. You're the one with everything. We accept whatever you say. And in fact, she had all the characteristics men didn't even have. So she sends a present. And Sulaiman rejects the present back and says, I'm going to send them an army. When she hears of an army heading towards her, she says, okay, we will send out and come back as Muslim to Sulaiman alayhi salam, or submit to his kingdom. However, Sulaiman seen in this woman good wisdom. So he said, let me use this good wisdom to get her willingly to embrace Islam. He said to his workers of jinn, and jinn, who's going to bring me her palace here? Her entire palace, in its entirety, I want it here as a miracle to show her we're guided by Allah. These are things that can only happen by Allah. One of his servants said, I'll bring it before you get up. He said, no, that's too long. You know, Uthman gets up in a palace. I'm in Palestine, and the palace is in Yemen. Imagine this. So they met in Palestine, in Bilad al-Sham. She is in Yemen. And just before Uthman gets up, the palace is right in front of me. He said, that doesn't work for me. He doesn't want that. I want it faster. He said, the other one said, I'll bring it to you before your eye blinks. And this is true. Before his eye blinks, the palace was there. And he said, decorate it. Change things around in the palace. نَذْكِرُ لَهَا عَرْشَهَا نَظْرَ تَهْدِنِي. Maybe this will get her to think about the miracles that we got your palace there. We changed things around. And also the flooring of that palace, he changed it by the will of Allah to be as though it's water. If you were to walk on it, you think you're walking on water. When she came in and he wanted to show her the palace, she raised up her skirt. She thought it was water she was walking on. But it was how Allah made it so perfect that it was like water, but it wasn't water. فَلَمَّا جَاءَتْ
Suleiman tells him, does this look like your palace?
Look at the wisdom of this woman. Every word she says in the Quran is so unique. She didn't say it, that's it. She said, look how she chooses her words. كَأَنَّهُ It's like it's it, it said. It's almost 99% sure, but I'm not fully sure, so I can't say it's it. كَأَنَّهُ وَأُوتِينَ الْعِلْمَ مِنْ قَبْلِهَا وَكُنَّا مُسْلِمِينَ When she seen the miracles, how the palace got there, when she seen how the jinn in the miracles of Sulaiman is, she said her famous quote, أَسْلَمْتُ مَعَ سُلَيْمَانَ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ I'm a believer with Sulaiman for Allah and only Allah. And that's when Sulaiman alayhi salam married her and their kingdom became one and they lived happily ever after. If there's any, the last one I want to talk about briefly, just 1 minute, is Maryam alayhi salam. As you know, Maryam was chosen before she was chosen by Allah. Her mother had committed Maryam when she was pregnant for the sake of Allah. She said, I choose that baby that I have for the sake of Allah. And when she gave birth to it, it was a woman. And as you know, look how pious this woman. وَمَرْيَا بْنَةَ عِمْرَانَ الَّذِي أَحْصَنَتْ فَرْجِهَا Pious woman. A woman who worked, when she gave birth, it was a woman. She said, oh Allah, I gave birth to a woman. And a woman can't serve in the church or in the holy places like a man. She can't do it like a man. So what should I do? Allah quoted in the Quran said, she could do this thing. Submit her to the holy place and she will be a servant there. When Jibreel alayhi salam came to give her the news that she's going to be pregnant without having any relationship with any man by the will of Allah, she jumped up. Could someone tell me why when she seen Jibreel alayhi salam, she jumped up? Why'd she jump up? Why'd she scared? Why? Exactly. Why? Why did she jump up? Pious woman. Pious woman. She was never used to seeing but two people. The man that overtook her, Zakaria, alayhi salam, and another man, Yusuf ibn Najjar. The only two people she ever seen throughout her life. When she seen a foreign man coming in on her, pious woman. He said, come and sit with me, let's chat, it's okay to mingle and mix and all that, and enjoy yourself with us. She jumped up. She said, A'udhu bi Rahmani mink, I seek refuge from Allah from you. Who are you? Who's this evil man coming to join with us? In kunta taqiyya, qala innama ana rasulu rabbiki li ahaba laki ghulaman zakiyya. I am the messenger of Allah to give you some good news. She gets the news of being pregnant. Yusuf ibn Najjar. He's checking things out. He's one of the caregivers of the holy place she's at. It was him or Zakaria. Yusuf ibn Najjar, his stomach getting bigger. And he's trying to say, you know, let me think good. And changes his thought. Changes his thought to the point where it was imminent this woman is pregnant. So he said, Maryam, could I talk to you for a minute? Did you ever see grass grow without a seed? Did you ever see a tree grow without seed? Did you ever see a woman get pregnant without a man? He didn't accuse her. This was a pious man. You want to know what's going on? To every one of those questions, he said, did you see a woman? Did you see a woman have a baby without a relationship? Yes. Did you see a tree without seed? Yes. Did you see grass without a seed? Yes. She said, do you know of the first creation of the first seed ever? It was without a seed. It was by the order of Allah. The first tree was by the order of Allah. Adam alayhi salam was without a man and a woman. He said, go, you're on the truth. I believe you. And that was it. She went through agony. This woman, a woman by herself, no relatives, devoted to Allah, went through the agony of everyone accusing her honor. The biggest thing, as you're going to see inshallah in the next halakha, that anyone could do to a woman, a pious woman, is accuse her honor. You could kill all her relatives. You could probably kill her. Actually, pious women we know of, who when someone came to transgress their boundaries in Bosnia, they used to kill themselves rather than get raped by a foreign man. Whether it's right or wrong is different, but a pious woman, the hardest thing on her is to hear of someone talking about her honor. They talk about her honor. فأتت به قومها تحمله مريم لقد جئت شيئا فريا. She comes out of the pool from a holy place carrying عيسى عليه السلام. لقد جئت شيئا فريا. Man, you did something wrong. يا أخت هارون. Her brother's name هارون. And it's not هارون the messenger of Allah. It's another هارون named after the messenger of Allah. يا أخت هارون. ما كان أبوك امرأ سوء. Your father was a pious man. Usually a family that's pious. The children are pious enough. ما كان أبوك امرأ سوء. وما كانت أمك بغية. Your mother wasn't a prostitute. فأشارت إليه. She pointed to it. They said, how can we talk to an infant? And that's when Isa alayhi salam taught. And he went on that Allah sent him the message in a very long story that Allah sent him the message, and he was the messenger of Allah where he used to cure the ill, make by the power of Allah the dead arise, and do a lot of other miracles by the will of Allah until the day came when he was a young man and the Jews collaborated to kill him. And he said to the people there, who's gonna take my place? Someone gotta take my place. We don't believe Isa died. We believe he was escalated to the sky. Who's gonna take my place in crucifixion? The youngest boy there, that's why the youth, the young woman, and the young boys of the youth are the core of our lives. Look, Isa alayhi salam spent all his da'wah, for the sake of Allah. Look who stands up. Who wants to take my place? Where's the elder? Where's the guy that spent 10 years of helping him? Where's the elder? Where's the people in the 40, 50, 60? The young boy stands up. Sit down, Isa tells him. The next time, who wants to take my place? The young boy gets up. The third time. And in fact, the most authentic story is that young boy takes his place and is crucified instead of Isa, while Isa is escalated to the sky. And then the people are three groups. People who believe Isa is the son of Allah. People who believe Isa is Allah, and people, very few, who believe Isa is the messenger of Allah, as we do today. Don't put them in a place higher than he belongs or lower. The unique thing about this story, one of the few leaders of those who remained a believer in Isa was his mother. His mother was one of the Hawariyin who remained a leader, pushing people to stay on the truth after Isa was escalated to the sky and before he will come before the judgment. And then, inshallah, this is all for this session. Is there any questions?
Yeah, if anyone has any questions, go just ask them to the organizers and bring them down.
This question says, what was the name of Ayyub's wife? I don't know of any authentic saying of her name. I know in history books and in Tafsir ibn Kathir and in Bidayah wa Nihaya it's mentioned as the wife of Ayyub alayhi salam. This question says, what's the role of a woman? We took examples here of women who were supportive of their husbands. And we took examples of Maryam who was single. Is a woman supposed to only be supportive of her husband? Or is she below him? Or, what's her role with her husband? You know, the brothers like one thing. They read many hadith that say above the man and how a woman should adhere to the man, they get happy. And they should get happy. However, they forget a verse in the Quran where Allah says, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. You get too happy, everything that you do, that you want of your wife, you gotta ask that your wife, you do it to your wife. You can't say, every day I come from home, I want the makeup on, I want you to be beautiful, I want you to be nice looking. And you come all dirty and smelling like sweat and say, did she ask you, can you look a little bit better? You say, no, I'm the man of the house. وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. The desire of the woman, what you ask of the woman, you know, we get happy. Man, maybe it's more emphasized in Islam for women, but the man himself has more obligation of a woman. I think the answer to this question is going to come up in the next and third session to see how independent women played role as du'a, independent women played role in jihad, independent women played role in politics, independent women played role in working itself too. Inshallah, you'll see that in the coming up examples. Okay, this is the question the brother is asking. Are we here on this earth because of Hawa's mistake? You know, if you look in the Quran, the only book I think that doesn't attribute this mistake to Hawa. The only book that doesn't attribute this mistake to Hawa. Look how Allah quotes it. فَوَسْوَسَ لَهُمَ الشَّيْطَانِ. The shaitan instigated, not to Hawa. Both of them shared in the same mistake. فَوَسْوَسَ لَهُمَ الشَّيْطَانِ لِيُبْدِيَ لَهُمَا. To expose them. لَهُمَا. Plural. To the husband and the wife. مَا وُرِيَ عَنْهُمَا مِنْ سَوْآتِهِمَا وَقَالَ مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ هَذِي الشَّجَرَةِ. تصرف of the shaitan instigated to both of them. مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ تِلْكُمَا الشَّجَرَةِ إِلَّا أَنْ تَكُونَا مَلَكَيْنِ. That only Allah would only deprive you of this tree unless you're two angels. أَوْ تَكُونَا مِنَ الْخَالِفِينَ. تَكُونَا. Both of you. So far I said it four or five times. Both of you. You know what? You know what? It's plural, 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 plural. And when you come to the end of the story, وَأَطَى آدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَهَوَى. It's Adam's mistake. You got the answer over there. Allah Adam is the one who made the mistake. Allah Adam Rabbahu Fahawa. The only book, I think, the only holy book that refuses in any verse in the Quran to attribute this mistake to him. Mistake. Both of them. The shaitan instigated to both of them. Both of them did this. Both of them did this. The end of the story, wa Allah Adam. It was Adam's fault. Because he has superiority, so he's the one who has supposed to obey the commands. Yusuf ibn Najjar, this one says, who is Yusuf whom Maryam used to know? Because the Christians believe that Maryam was married to Yusuf. This is not Yusuf, the one they claim, Yusuf, the one the Christians claim supposedly married her. But this is Yusuf and Najjar. There were two caregivers in the area, the holy area where she was submitted. She was given, you know, there was a holy area where they had a mihrab. A mihrab is not that area in the masjid where the imam prays, the circular area. That's not a mihrab in Islam. That's not supposed to be called a mihrab in Islam. A mihrab in Islam is small rooms within a holy area that everyone, sort of what the priests do today. Everyone lives in a church, and in the church, everyone has his own room. And this is what Zakariya, this is where Zakariya is to worship. This is where Yusuf ibn Najjar used to clean up and take care of it. And this is the man who used to, when Zakariya is not around, take care of her. And of course, you know, we don't believe that she was married to him or had any relationship to him. In fact, we consider that, saying that one of the biggest sins one could say. Was the mother of Musa prophet? No, she wasn't. Awhayna in this verse means instigated. Allah put in her heart. She was not a prophet. A prophet, someone who gives the message or revives the message from Allah. The mother of Musa was not a prophet of Allah, but rather Allah instigated to her to what to do with Musa if Fir'aun comes to them.